Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Macisa fourth quarter earnings result conference call. There will be a Q&A section at the end of this presentation, so please hold your question until that moment. Today's host will be Macisa CFO, Mr. Eugenio Arteaga. Mr. Arteaga, please proceed.
Good afternoon. I'd like to ask participants to mute your microphones so we do not receive feedback.
Joining the meeting. The host has the recording feature on.
Thank you. Today's presentation will be divided in six sections. First, we'll initiate the presentation with highlights of the fourth quarter of 2011. Then we'll give you an overview of the most important macroeconomic indicators. In third place, we'll, as usual, give you an update on the strategy execution. Fourth, we're going to cover operational and financial results with the main highlights of the fourth quarter compared to the prior year. Then we'll provide you with a breakdown in the two business units, in the industrial business unit and the forestry business unit. And finally, we're going to go over certain financial analysis and financial metrics of a company. In the first section, in page number two, the first element to be discussed and presented is net income, which decreased compared to the fourth quarter of 2010 because of a one-off transaction booked in the fourth quarter of 2010, whereby we, as a result of a corporate restructuring of our forestry assets in Chile, were able to book a deferred tax benefit of approximately $36 million, which benefited results of the fourth quarter of 2010. Net income in the fourth quarter 2011 reached $35.9 million. Second place, consolidated sales grew very significantly compared to the fourth quarter of the prior year by 22.5%, reaching $346 million, as a consequence of a higher demand in most of the Latin American markets. Higher board sales of 14.1% were the result of a combination of higher volumes by 7.8% and higher average prices in dollar terms. This outstanding growth in sales translated itself into
Joining the meeting.
Higher EBITDA, which reached $67.4 million, meaning 8.8% higher than fourth quarter 2010. In this case, in particular, as a consequence of higher standing timber sales of our forestry business unit, which EBITDA grew by $7.2 million, and in turn, lower industrial EBITDA of $1.2 million due to difficulty in offsetting cost increase pressures originated in resins and wood prices in many of the markets where we operate, and offset those by higher prices, especially in the case of the Brazilian domestic market and export markets served from Chile, our main export base in the region. So, result of which, overall consolidated EBITDA grew by 8.8% in the fourth quarter compared to the fourth quarter of 2010. The fourth important element to communicate is the initial phase of operation of our new MDP facility in Cabrero in the south of Chile. This is a 280,000 cubic meter capacity plant in Cabrero, which involved investments for approximately $59 million and which will enable the company to deliver a high quality product to the Chilean market and regional markets, especially in the Pacific coast, namely Peru, Ecuador, Colombia, and Central America. And also will enable the company in its Chilean operations to achieve significant cost benefits in the range of approximately 15% cost reduction in its particle board MDPE production in Chile. The second section covers main macroeconomic indicators. The company tracks down to project and plan going forward, and that is presented in page number four. The first indicator is consumption levels in Latin America, where we observed in 2011 a gradual reduction of consumption growth to levels of 4.1, and continue to expect at this time that 2012 will, that trend will continue to be present with a further reduction to levels of 3.6% growth compared to the prior year. On the other hand, inflation is expected to continue to reduce, to go down to levels that in the region will reach a level below 7% in 2012. When looking at the four most important markets in the region where Macisa is present, starting with Argentina, we see a common pattern in terms of gradual reduction of consumption. Argentina was reasonably stable compared to the prior year and is expected to present a significant decline this year, still growing by 3.7%, but given that last year was an electionary year, expenditures were kept very high and the economy was performing very, very well with consumption levels being historically in its peak levels. That is the reality for the two prior years, 11 and 10. Still, demand continues to be very strong in Argentina, and we're not foreseeing any major changes in panel demand in that country. We continue to observe a consumption level that is reasonably high and stable compared to the prior year. Despite that fact, we do expect some level of adjustment in the level of consumption, and that should be absorbed over the next 2 years. The case of Chile presented a slightly higher decrease in activity in consumption from 9.3 to 8.3% last year, and we're forecasting this year to reach 4.2% growth only. And this, despite the present dynamic of demand, which is very strong, we continue to observe a strong demand condition in Chile. Just to mention, physical sales in Chile grew by 11% last year, so it was a very strong market that we were able to take advantage of. In terms of inflation, we do expect inflation to go down to levels of 3.0%. In the case of the Brazilian market presented an adjustment, a severe adjustment last year. It went down from 6.9% to 4.2%, reasonably strong adjustment levels, still growing solidly, but with a very significant reduction and change in trend compared to the reality in 2010. We expect 2012 to be more or less similar to 2011 levels of 4.1% growth in consumption. In general, we last year in the Brazilian operations were able to maintain our market share by growing our physical sales by approximately 4%. So we were able to more or less compare even with the market. Inflation level is expected to go down, as is the case in other markets in the region. The case of Venezuela in particular was coming from a recessionary environment and started presenting growth rates in 2011. As we saw in our results, we were able to pass price increases and started to see in the last quarter a significant increase in volume of sales. Throughout the year, though, on a cumulative basis, Venezuela presented a net reduction of volumes compared to the prior year. That was the trend that we were observing before, but it has been changing since the fourth quarter of 2011. Our expectation is that this year will continue to grow. This is an electionary year in Venezuela, so we do expect the government to promote economic activity by increasing consumption, investment, and the economy. So we do expect a more favorable year in Venezuela through October, when the elections are occurring. Inflation continues to be at very high levels, ranging 29-30%. We do not foresee that to change this year. One comment that I'd like to give is in the following page, page number five. Those are specific lead indicators we follow in the case of each of the main countries where we operate. In the case of Argentina, we closely monitor the Construya Index, a mobile quarterly average that presented a growth year on year of 5.8%, which was reflected in domestic demand growth rate that decreased after the presidential election, as the trend shows in the graph here. Macisa board sales in Argentina were more or less stable in volume terms, in cubic meter terms, since we are operating at full capacity in our plants in Argentina. And in dollar terms, they grew by approximately 11% in the fourth quarter compared to the prior year. In the case of Chile, the Chilean market was following a very positive dynamic, very strong consumption levels and growth rates, especially in the construction sector. Home sales grew by 22.8% year-on-year, December 11 compared to December 10. Very strong increase, and that trend seems to continue in the first quarter of this year, mainly associated with higher economic activity and very solid macroeconomic fundamentals. Macisa board sales in the Chilean market grew by 11.8% in cubic meter terms, in volume terms, representing a very significant growth compared to the prior year. In dollar terms, it was more or less stable compared to that, meaning 10% increase approximately. In the case of Brazil, we're seeing we monitored cement dispatches among other indicators, but this is one we commonly present in our discussions with investors. Cement dispatches were up by 5.5% only, which presents an adjustment compared to the growth rates we were observing until 2010. This adjustment level was along also with an overcapacity, an excess capacity in the industry, especially in the case of MDF in Brazil, where the excess capacity is being calculated at approximately 1 million cubic meter of MDF in the market. That reality presented itself as a very challenging reality in the case of Brazil, because the year 2011 was characterized overall by significant cost increases in resins, approximately 20% year on year, and also increase in wood price in the different markets, in different magnitudes, but in all markets we observed price increases. on top of that, in the case of a Chilean market, energy prices, in particular electricity prices, went up very significantly and affected the profitability of our Chilean operations, especially the ones that were oriented to overseas markets and exports to those overseas markets. Coming back to the Brazilian case, we observed a more severe competitive scenario with the different players that are present in that market, which made it impossible to pass on price increases to the market in MDF and also MDP, which meant that we were only able to benefit from higher volumes of MDP coming out of our Montenegro plant, which grew by approximately 30% in terms of volumes. But in the fourth quarter in particular, physical sales were reasonably stable, 1.8% above the prior year, and in dollar terms a very similar magnitude, 1.9% above. The most important increase we saw was in MDP because of additional volumes, and in the case of MDF, the market was particularly competitive, and margins were deteriorated by the cost increases, which were not fully offset by volumes and price increases. Given this reality, we have been taking a very close look at our strategy in Brazil, as a result of which we implemented a couple of changes in our management in Brazil. Macisa decided to change and appoint a new country manager in Brazil. The new general manager for Brazilian operation is Marise Barroso, very reputed and well-known Brazilian executive, coming also from a building materials industry, from another operation in another company called Amanco, which joined the operations starting in March, recently, very recently. And also we changed the position of a human resources manager of our Brazilian operations. This is part of our plan to reinforce our operations and come up with a strategy to get a leading position in that market. We continue to see very favorably the Brazilian market. However, this excess capacity that we've been observing is expected to be absorbed over a two-year horizon, where we will continue to see some pressure in terms of prices and market share by different competitors. The case of Venezuela presented a significant growth in terms of the construction GDP, a lead indicator we follow, 33% increase year on year, which presented a very significant domestic demand reactivation, especially towards the end of the year. And we see that this may be part of a political campaign to promote the president's re-election in Venezuela, and of course we're favoring from that. The fourth quarter sales in terms of volumes were up by 3.1% after being below prior year levels in most quarters of the last year and prior years. So we have had been seeing a recessionary environment with lower volumes, and for the first time in many quarters we're seeing an upward trend in the case of Venezuela, which we expect will continue to be the case at least the three first quarters of 2012. Dollar sales were up 28.6%, but that again is affected by a significantly higher level of inflation in Venezuela. I will take the opportunity to make a comment about a recent news on Venezuela. President Chavez made certain declarations and asked his ministers to take contact with Macisa to as they put it, partner with Masisa in the development and exploitation of forestry assets in Venezuela, with the objective of helping and supporting the construction goal of building 200,000 houses per year. Presently, the government is pursuing, is trying to make that on their own, and they have been having trouble in reaching the objective, and have found that Masisa has the know-how and the assets and the people that would probably help the government achieve its goals, which we see only as a very positive sign from the Venezuelan government in terms of their view on Masisa, because this is confirming that our social and environmental strategies in Venezuela have been well seen and evaluated by the government, and far from risking our operations and our assets there, that is creating opportunities on the part of Masisa. We've been informed that this is nothing to have with our existing assets in Venezuela, but more with supporting and helping the government exploit their own forestry assets, which are huge, and they have been underperforming and underexploited. And also some sawmilling capacity and other issues they have in the construction site. Wanted to take the advantage of saying that because this is very fresh news, starting from last Friday, I believe, and they have been confirmed by a meeting of our general manager in Venezuela and minister in charge of these assets in Venezuela. All of the government owned forestry assets in Venezuela are owned and operated by an agency called Proforca, and we have the best possible relationship and contact with Proforca in Venezuela, and expect to well manage to manage positively this situation in Venezuela. Moving on to the following section, which covers in page number 7 an overview of our strategy. Our strategy is divided in four pillars, four elements. The first of which is customer focus, where we have a special aim in strengthening and growing our Placa Centro network of dedicated specialty stores, which are dedicated to service the carpenter needs. Those stores present a net growth rate, net growth number of 20 additional stores. But that is actually the result of 46 new stores being incorporated in the network, plus 10 Masisa-owned stores, net of certain stores that were eliminated from the network, which are now distributors but are not Placa Centro stores. So the net growth was 20 stores. But in addition to that, not only growing the number of stores in the region, but also improving their service capabilities and potential profitability potential by having 97% of those Placa Centro stores conforming to our own desired conditions and requirements. Some of the stores that were eliminated from the network were precisely stores that were not conforming with our standards and were not willing to invest or modify their businesses to our standards, and therefore they were converted to distributors and they're not part of the network. Another area of attention has been in the last couple of years increasing the number of MDP clients, especially industrial clients which are dedicated to manufacturing of furniture using our MDP boards. And there we've been able to grow the number by more than 25% to a level of over 400,000 clients. 400,000 cubic meters sales to industrial clients in this, especially in Brazil. The second element of our strategy is innovation, where in the fourth quarter of 2011 we launched 15 new products, new designs, and in the different markets. The metric we use to monitor the innovation is the last 3 years of launchings, and we measure the margin of those products that have been launched in the last 3 years compared to the total margin generated by the company. And despite the fact that that number presents a reduction from 28.8 to 20.7, it presents a significant level of innovation where one-fifth of our margin is generated with new products that have been launched in the last 3 years. The decline is the result of the additional volumes of MDP that we've been placing in the market that grew by approximately 100,000 cubic meters in 2011. MDP, as mentioned before, has been also affected by the excess capacity in Brazil, and therefore margins are relatively lower than other products in the region, and therefore that has been affecting this metric, but in terms of importance, still very important. Another metric we follow is the importance of melamine or coated boards as compared to the total volume of boards. And there we reached 46% of our total board sales were sold in with melamine or coated form, which gives the company additional margin contribution, which may be double or three times the margin we get when selling raw boards. We are definitely concentrated in increasing this number by undertaking additional investments in the countries where we are focusing our efforts. We're in the process of building a new capacity in Brazil for coating products and are exploring a couple of other projects in the region. In terms of operational efficiency, the third element of our strategy, our MDP plant in Montenegro reached almost 80% of its capacity in the fourth quarter of 2011, despite market constraints in Brazil. We've been increasing gradually our production without generating price pressures that create that destroy or erode our margins. But it's been challenging times to increase the sales of MDP in Brazil. We'll continue to be very careful in increasing volumes. We will definitely increase the volumes, but to the extent that the market is able to absorb that without creating or eroding margins. Another element we follow closely in the operational efficiency group is SG&A expenses to total sales, which were stable in 2011 compared to 2010. That mostly as a consequence of variable costs coming from logistics and some marketing expenditures associated with sales and marketing expenses associated with servicing other segments or other markets, including export markets. We do expect to get this number down to levels that are below 30% rather soon, taking advantage of the additional capacity and some fixed cost and leveraging on those. Working capital was very, very efficient by the end of the year. It went down from almost 21% to 19% as a result of a very effective management of inventories and accounts receivable in different markets. One element that was challenging over the year was the EBITDA margin, which came down from 20.6% to 16.6%. A rather significant reduction, which was again the result of a tough year in terms of raw material cost showing a very significant upward curve, especially resins, and in the case of Chile, electricity prices. And that was offset in most of our operations and markets in the region, but we're not able to offset fully those in the case of Brazil because of the overcapacity present in the market, and the adjustment that we saw in the economy in terms of demand that came down significantly from a two-digit level to levels of 4 to 5% growth rate last year. So that was a significant change in trend, and did not allow us to compensate price cost increases with price increases in general. That was also the case in the export markets that are served from our Chilean operations. The Chilean operations are dedicated to the domestic market in Chile, but also to some regional markets, including Peru, Ecuador, Colombia, Central America, and even Mexico. But there's another portion of production that goes to overseas markets, where we are facing internationally depressed prices associated with the global crisis that we're living. As a result of which, the company was not able to offset cost increases in terms of getting additional margin, additional prices in those markets. The third element affecting EBITDA margin was the lower importance of our standing timber sales, which came down from approximately $40 million in 2010 to approximately $25 million in 2011. Standing timber sales and generally wood sales have EBITDA margins that are in excess of 40%, maybe 40 to 50%. And therefore, when within the context of the overall consolidated results, forestry sales and EBITDA is more important, that generally contributes to increasing EBITDA margin. The fourth element of our strategy is leveraging the synergies of the forestry and industrial assets. There, a couple of points to mention are the contribution Macisa is making in Mexico to support the government in terms of developing a pilot project for artificial plantations of approximately 1,000 hectares. Important to note in the case of Mexico is that there are no significant artificial plantations in Mexico. All of the forestry production in Mexico is basically harvesting native forestry that is allowed and managed, but that has very low productivity, and we are supporting the government developing some pilot experiences to test the potential of forestry business in Mexico. In addition to that, we're developing new plantations with unexplored species in Venezuela and Chile. In the case of Venezuela, we're testing acacia with 1,000 hectares planned, and in the case of Chile, we're exploring the alamo in the south of Chile as also a rapid growth species that could be exploited. Timber sales, standing timber sales reached $25 million in 2011. Moving on to page number 8, this is an outlook and challenges that we're seeing on a going forward basis. First is the proactive management of all of our commercial strategy in the context of a more adverse competitive scenario. The one that was present last year in Brazil in terms of the overcapacity of MDF principally, and secondly MDP, and also the competitive scenario that will start this year with the start of operations of MDP plant belonging to Arauco in the south of Chile. So we foresee that the competitive scenario will be tougher. Fortunately, in the case of Chile, demand growth rates have been very strong, and will continue to be very strong. And also regional markets, including Argentina, Peru, Ecuador, and Colombia, are performing very well, and their consumption levels are very high, which we foresee will be the natural destiny of that plant, as well as our new MDP plant, and therefore competitive forces should be reasonable among the different players in the market. In the case of Brazil, in particular, We're seeing three challenges. One is to continue growing our MDP sales in the market to reach almost full capacity in 2012. We do expect to increase our sales in the market. Second, we expect to materialize the cost savings as a result of recent investments we've undertaken in Brazil. Some of those include an energy plant and also a wood processing, a chipping facility that will enable us to reach a certain cost production savings starting this year. Actually, those started in the fourth quarter of last year and will fully materialize in 2012. And we will continue, and I reinforce the word continue, because Maciza has been during all year 2011 pushing the market and pushing and encouraging other players to increase prices and giving signals to the market with a price increase at tenths, which were basically compensation for cost increases we were incurring in our Brazilian plants. Unfortunately, the market situation prevented us from actually validating those price increases. However, we will continue pushing and giving signs to the market that prices should increase, margins should improve, and that should be reflected in the furniture industry. We do know that other competitors and peers in the industry in Brazil are also concerned with the profitability levels of their Brazilian operations. In some of the cases, their only operations are in Brazil, and therefore they're also aligned with or interested in getting decent returns in their Brazilian operations, and therefore should be willing to support price increase movements in the market. In the case of Chile, the challenges are more aligned with the introduction of the MDP boards in the country, in the domestic market, and also in the region. We will gradually replace older technology product from older plants that we've been shutting down. As a matter of fact, in the fourth quarter of 2011, we did make the decision of shutting down the Chihuayante plant, a very old plant in the south of Chile, and took all of the impairment and the provisions that were necessary to do that. That affected results by $6 million approximately in the fourth quarter, not even in BDA terms, but in the net income level that is present. Secondly, we should be able to materialize the cost savings from the new MDP plant. I mentioned before approximately 15% cost savings expected from that plant compared to the older technology plants that were producing until last year, and also taking full advantage of a recently executed electricity supply agreement, which was a 5-year electricity supply agreement for all of our needs in Chile, which are not, we were not formerly under contract, long-term contracts, or serviced from our cogeneration facility in Cabrero. This is very good news in terms of eliminating a cost disadvantage that the Chilean market is presenting, and that the Maciza was unfortunately affected by last year because of marginal electricity costs being very, very high. This is a 5-year contract that will produce benefits to Maciza in an increasing fashion, because it establishes a cap for electricity prices for years 2012 and 2013, and then it goes to a fixed price, which is very competitive, starting in 2014. In the third place, we expect to increase volume of exports to regional markets, including all of the markets in the Pacific Coast, Central America, Peru, Ecuador, Colombia, which are growing very fastly, replacing gradually overseas exports, which are only maintained to maintain our plants at full capacity or almost full capacity, and therefore they provide for some fixed cost coverage, but they're not providing the company with good returns and good profitability. So we will gradually replace those sales with the market growth that we're observing in these regional markets, which continue to perform very solidly. In fourth place, we will continue reinforcing our Placa Centro network, continue with a growth plan of third-party owned stores, and also some growth on the Macisa owned stores, which were 10 at the end of a year and are expected to grow further this year. The fourth section on operational financial result presents in page number 10 a summary of our income statement for the fourth quarter 2011 compared to 2010. It presents this very significant increase in sales, which were already discussed as a result of better performance in sales in almost all markets in the quarter. With volumes growing by approximately 8% compared to the prior year, and gross margin growing by 16%, 15.9 to be precise. That is approximately $11 million increase, which was due to higher board sales and also the completion of our standing timber sales in Chile at the end of the year. The other operating revenue line presents a very significant increase compared to the prior year, and this is a result of I'd like to open up here that the most important change here is derived from our biological assets, from the valuation of our forestry assets. The forestry assets, according to IFRS, are valued using a discounted cash flow model that forecasts sales price and all of the costs that are needed to grow the trees overall and takes those to the harvesting years, including harvesting costs and transportation costs in those harvesting years. All of those variables are adjusted and updated on a yearly basis according to IFRS, but there are some metrics that, according to the norm and according to our policies, we update every 2 or 3 years. In this year, in particular, in 2011, we updated a couple of metrics that were important. One is the discount rates that we apply in a few markets, including Brazil, Chile, and Argentina. Those affected positively the value of our forestry assets because there were a net reduction of discount rates that are aligned with the market trends and what the other operators are doing in the market in terms of land prices and also forestry assets that are being sold that reflect that forestry investors and forestry players, strategic players, are indeed incorporating reduced discount rates in their models and their decision-making processes. That's on one hand. And on the other hand, we also incorporated new appraisals of forestry land in those markets. Argentina, Brazil, and Chile. And there has been a significant price appreciation of forestry land in all of the markets. Very significant. We booked a $118 million appreciation of a forestry land in our operations, with net effect shown in the net worth of the company. This is not a net income effect. However, that reinforces our net worth and also improves our leverage ratios on one side. And in addition to that, in the valuation models used to value the forestry assets, the additional price of a land implies a discount, which comes from an implied lease rate that the forestry assets have to pay in the model to the land. Given the land appreciation, that lease payment increased in most of the markets, and therefore that implied a decrease in value with effect in net income. The net effect of these two factors was approximately $11 million of increase compared to the variations booked in 2011. In addition to that, there were significant increases in prices in Argentina associated with the development of the forestry sector, which has been acquiring sophistication in terms of value-added wood products, and producers have been including demand or increasing their demand for higher value forestry logs, which are clear logs that are in opposition to the regular logs, have values that are maybe three or even five times higher. As a result of that, also we booked a certain important price appreciation in the models of the forestry assets in Argentina. SG&A, I already explained the nature of the changes, mainly associated with higher volume. And in other sundry operating expenses, have to mention that within those 9 million, approximately 3 to 4 million consist of the impairment and the provisions associated with the shutdown of our Chihuayante plant in the south of Chile. So, absent of that, the performance of that line was favorable. In terms of financial expenses, those are lower than the prior year due to lower base rates, benefiting in part of the portfolio, which is floating. We've been taking advantage of low base rates, low LIBOR rate, etc., and also the result of a repricing process the company undertook in the third quarter of the year, whereby we were able to implement and get a significant spread reduction for our operations. Income tax line is significantly affected by something I mentioned at the very beginning of the presentation, which was a one-off net income benefit booked in the fourth quarter of last year, approximately $36 million. Which was a deferred tax benefit originated in a corporate reorganization of our forestry assets in Chile last year. The income tax level observed in the fourth quarter of 2011 is something we would qualify as a normal income tax level. Finally, EBITDA was $67 million in the quarter, 8.8% above prior year because of the reasons that have already been explained throughout the presentation. Moving on to page 11, this page presents a series of breakdowns. First, on the upper left graph, to reinforce the importance of our two main products, MDF and particle board, which both represent over 70% of our businesses. That's the core of our attention and gets most of the resources and investments have been there in the last 3 years. Then moving on to the right, in the upper right-hand graph, we see a breakdown by country where we may see that because of the reasons explained before affecting the Brazilian market, Brazil came down from representing approximately 25 to 26% in the prior year to only 21% in 2011. Other markets maintained their importance. Venezuela was approximately 26%, Argentina 11%. In the case of Chile, it is important to note that, as mentioned before, Chile also serves from Chilean plants the export markets that are presented here under the title Others and most of the United States. So approximately 11% in addition to the 20% that Chile represents. So Chile is the most important market in terms of production and sales, but a portion of that is servicing export markets. Finally, on the bottom right-hand chart, we present our multi-channel strategy, where the Placa Centro network is the most important channel, representing 30% of our sales. This is the board sales. Then superstores means here retail, big boxes, retail stores such as Cinco Sud or Sodimac Home Center, Imperial, and other networks, big networks of retail stores in the region. Industrials are most important in Brazil. We're here talking about furniture manufacturers that in Brazil represent a vast majority of the DMDP demand, and manufacturers or distributors represent the remaining 22.6%. Moving on to the following section, which describes the performance on a per business unit basis. We have two business units, the forestry business unit and the industrial business unit. As presented in the graph in this page 13, quarterly sales grew by 22%, very significant. In the prior year, they had increased by 7%. In terms of the breakdown, this growth is coming from both the forestry business unit and also the industrial business unit. They both grew by approximately 21-22%. In the case of EBITDA, though, the growth quarter on quarter is 9%, and comparing to the prior year was 12%. Sorry. Now, when we're breaking down in the two business units, one can notice that the most important growth here comes from the forestry business unit, which grew by 30%, and this is a result of significant standing timber sales that were booked of approximately $15 million in the last quarter of the year. The industrial business unit was a bit down, 3% down, because of the market conditions that were described before, and the cost pressures not being fully offset in the Brazilian market and the export markets served from Chile. On page number 14, we present a breakdown of byproduct, where we can reinforce once again that the two main products presented decent growth rates. In the case of MDF, 15.3% in dollar terms and almost 13% in cubic meters terms. That is the result of growth present in most markets. The only exception would be Brazil, in this case, which did not present growth in the quarter. In the case of a MDP particle board family, those were up by 12.2% and 3% only, 2.7 exactly, in terms of volumes. This is a result of not having additional or new capacity present in the region. This is going to change a bit with the MDP plant that is becoming operational starting in the first quarter of this year in Cabrero in Chile, and also expected volume increase in the case of MDP in Brazil, where we're going to be very cautious in increasing volume, but we still expect a significant volume increase in 2012. In the case of Sunwood, which we produce out of Chile and also Venezuela, it was up by 36%, very significantly, because of more favorable conditions in Venezuela, because of this change in the trend now showing growth rates, and also in Chile being able to enlarge our capacity even by trading Sunwood that was manufactured by third parties and challenging that, orienting that to third markets. These products in the case of Chile are 100% for export markets. Finally, the forestry business unit was up 28%, and this is again as a consequence of higher outstanding timber sales in Chile, and in part because of additional increase in Venezuela. Finally, in the sixth section on the financial analysis, we present the change of consolidated debt and also net financial debt. In this latter case, it went up by 10% to level of $715 million, which was the result of booking the cogeneration facility that we put into production starting in June 2011, which was is operated by Dalkia, a French operator, under a BOT agreement, which has implicit leasing conditions, which was booked as a debt. And also, by the end of the year, the company followed and implemented a strategy to reinforce liquidity and draw down a series of bank facilities totaling $121 million, long-term facilities in all of the cases, which were kept in cash as a means to reflect a good liquidity position by year end. That resulted in cash balances amounting to approximately $160 million by year end, which cover most of our refinancing needs in the first part of the year and allow the company to structure a supplementary refinancing initiative, which will consist of a local bond issuance that the company expects to be launching in the market in the second quarter of the year. The financial debt maturity, as one may notice, is mostly covered by the cash balances that the company had in its hands, in addition to this domestic bond placement that is aiming at $90 to $100 million, should suffice to cover all refinancing needs without approaching the bank markets. On the financial ratios evolution, the company presents favorable, reasonably stable ratios. In the case of interest coverage, it rose to 4.7 times, and in the case of net financial debt to EBITDA, it went up a bit only compared to the prior quarters, reaching 3.4, and with a stable trend that we expect will not change over the next few quarters. Moving to page number 17, there's a breakdown of our capital expenditure investments in the last 3 years, reaching $77.5 million in 2011, in part benefited by the sale of remaining 25% of an OSB facility that we had in Brazil, in Ponta Grossa, which was sold 3 years ago, 75% of which was sold 3 years ago to Lucena Pacific, and the remaining 25% was sold in June 2011. The first two investments went up a bit to $39 million. Those are the investments that are needed to develop and grow the forestry assets in the different regions where we operate, and that's a capital expenditure level that should be maintained year on year to maintain and further develop the forestry assets in all of the markets. The industrial investments, reaching $61.6 million, were more concentrated. The most important project was the final stages of a construction of the MDP plant in Cabrero, which was finalized and produced its first boards by middle of a year, and was following ramp-up processes and is producing at very, very good conditions presently. We do expect capital expenditures to reach approximately $100 million in 2012, and that will be composed of approximately $45 million of forestry investments, and the remaining portion will be of industrial investments. Those will be concentrated, those investments in the industrial part will be concentrated in in coating capacity for value-added products and boards in different regions. We've started to build a new one in Brazil, and also investments on the operational efficiency of our plants in different locations, whereby we expect to reduce consumption of resins, in particular because those represent a significant portion of the costs of the cost basis of a board. Having said that, we come to an end of our presentation, and I would like to thank everyone for your attention. And at this time, we would like to open up for potential questions that any participants may have. We would ask anyone to please present himself by saying the name and the company who he represents, and then posting the questions. Thank you. Once again, I'd like to invite participants to post their questions or comments as they wish. We're open up for any questions you may have. Masis, I would like to thank everyone for your participation, and we would like to reinforce that our investor relations department may take any questions from you at any time. We have a fully dedicated investor relations department to address your potential inquiries or questions or information requirement at all times. So thank you for your participation. Have a good day.